Hi, my name's Mandy and I'm an addict.
Hi, Mandy.
And it was really weird, like you, I too felt petrified when I came in here. And I've always kind of like, always felt fearful when it comes to doing anything, but I did it anyway, do you know what I mean? And when I went in the loo, I thought, well, Mandy, you're using the can bags and creep houses and that, and do you know what I mean? You can do this. Do you know? That's what I said when I went in the loo before the meeting. It was crazy, but, you know, it's kind of like... And you know what it is, right? Because I never got clean in NA, right? And I often get tormented in my head, like you don't deserve a seat in NA because you didn't get clean, you didn't cluck in the programme. Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of like, it always tells me, like, you don't belong there, you know, which I know is total rubbish. Do you know what I mean? You know, because I am a still suffering addict. Do you know what I mean? That really does need these rooms, you know, and I have to kind of like, I have to step out and just keep coming to meetings to remind myself, you know, that. And do you know what else pushes me? It's really sad because how I came into the rooms, right? I'm clean 16 years, and like I've been coming here for, I'm not even quite sure how long, but let's have a look. Maybe about 4 years or something like that. Is when I set up some houses for women coming out of prison, and I've always known that NA works. Do you know what I mean? Because like, you know, I look at the amount of people that are getting clean and stuff like that. You know, so when I got these houses, you know, I knew that's what brought me in. And I didn't actually come in for myself. I come in because like I was bringing the girls there and stuff like that, you know, and it was while sitting in the meetings, you know, I'd be thinking, you can't share, you ain't done the programme. You can't, do you know what I mean? You can't share on that step. You can't do this and you can't do that. And I so wanted to share, do you know what I mean? I so wanted to feel a part of, do you know what I mean? And that's what pulled me in to start working the programme and working the steps so that I could actually feel a part of it. Do you know what I mean? Because sitting on... Well, just attending meetings for me was like just like sitting in the outskirts of it. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, no, I want to share. I want to take people through this program. Do you know what I mean? But still not accepting that I need to do this for me. Because that's what kind of person, I'll do anything for you, and I struggle at doing things for myself, you know. But I give thanks that this program is here today, and I'm able to come here today, and I'm able to come here and share and give back, because I know that's what keeps me clean. Do you know what I mean? Giving back and not holding on to it and getting all puffed up and self-righteous and as we do, kind of thing. But yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about my background and what. Yeah, you know, I'm coming from dysfunction. My mum was a prostitute, grandmother prostitute, my dad was a punter, and I was born in London. And when I was young, my dad stopped paying my mum for sex, so my grandmother ended up taking my mother back to Yorkshire, and I ended up a mixed race, right? And it was all right when I was in London, but when I went to Yorkshire, it's predominantly white people, and I really started to notice my colour, because like I was always made to feel wrong, that this colour's wrong. And little did I know at that time what was happening, I started to hate the black side of me, because I really believed that it's wrong. You know, I didn't understand it. And my mum was kind of like messed up. She's an addict. She's dead now, but, you know, she was an alcoholic addict and she was just messed up. And the way she used to talk to us, like it was our fault, you know, you're black, you're this and you're that. You know, because she was sick. You know, she was sick, and so venom would come out of her mouth. And I didn't understand that as a child. I was sexually abused at the age of four. And I know that's another point in my life that I shut down. And the thing was, I didn't remember none of this until I got into recovery at the age of 40. I didn't remember none of it. I totally, and only God knows, I just didn't remember nothing. But my sister remembered everything, and sadly to say, she's a godsend in my life, because when stuff is coming up for me, as it still is, you know, and it's like all I can think about it is childhood trauma and stuff that's happened. It's like an onion being peeled. Like, I know I've been abused, and then it goes into it, kind of thing. Like today, I know all my abusers, and I've gone through them and forgiven them and stuff like that. They're all dead now and stuff like that. But anyway, so as a child, this stuff happened to me, and I shut down. But I love my mum. I've always loved my mum. As a child, I'd throw tantrums, like, I hate you, da 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 da. But I love my mum. Anybody would look at my mum or whatever, I'd fight to protect her, because as a child, having a dysfunctional parent, you grow up quick, and you become the adult and stuff like that, as some of you obviously know. You know, I always felt uncomfortable. I always felt I'd say yes when really I'd want to say no. You know, it was kind of like, it's funny because like earlier today I thought of that that hymn, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." Now, when I was a child, right, I used to go to a Catholic school. You know, I haven't got no education. I'm not qualified. I haven't done no maths, English, da-da-da, none of that stuff. And that's okay. You know, at one time you haven't done that and you're this and you're that, and it's not true. I'm not this and that. I still qualify for things in life, but that belief system, I don't qualify for anything because I don't know my English and maths and all that stuff, which ain't true. But I remember in school, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace," and that song as a child, it really resonated with me. I didn't know the words. I couldn't remember the words. And it's not until I've got in recovery that I've learned the words, looked at the words, and thought, oh my gosh, even though I was a suffering child at a young age, I desired, do you know what I mean, to be a channel of peace, to be used as a vessel for peace. For peace and for a channel to make sense out of nonsense of life, because this is what this program has given me. Do you know what I mean? It makes sense out of nonsense. You know, when working the steps. You know, because when I look at my life, it's nonsense. You know, but I know God's got a purpose in all of it. I believe that with my heart. But I can remember as a child, right, it's extremes. I'd want to be the greatest thief ever. And then the extreme, I'd want to be a nun, because I watched something on TV, Sister Bernadette or something, and I wanted to be like her. I really did. And like, there was nothing attractive about her. Do you know what I mean? She's got all, you know, but there was something, I could see something beautiful in this nun. You know, obviously it wasn't like the nuns in the school, because they were nightmares. Do you know what I mean? But I always kind of like got my attention by being negative. That's the, you know, I had to be negative for anybody to recognise me, you know, and I craved for recognition, and I also craved for respect. You know, I demanded respect, and I demand that in an aggressive way. Growing up, like, we'd get a slap and stuff like that, and it was kind of like, you know, what you crying for, smash. You know what I mean? Why are you crying? You know, so at a young age, learn, don't cry, you know, and stuff like that. I started drinking alcohol at a young age, and I couldn't stand it, you know. I could not stand it. I dipped my finger in the cup, and it was like, yuck, you know, but I'd pick it up and just down it. You know, I couldn't sip it, you know, so I didn't like the taste of it, so I would just down it. And it was the feeling of not feeling that I opened myself up to, and craved that feeling of not to feel, you know. And I was a very aggressive child anyway, so with alcohol I was even more aggressive, more paranoid, you know. So that was the first substance that I had. But the prior to that, like going to school, I recognised my addiction in the kids. Like, we'd have marbles. Well, I want all your marbles. I want the whole lot. You know, even though I've got I want all yours. You know, anything you've got, I want it. you know. And what it was, right, a lot of the kids, right, they had mums and dads, and I always kind of, like, even though I didn't talk about it, I craved for parents, you know. And I used to look at these kids being picked up from school, and I used to think their parents are normal, you know. So even though I'd talk to them as friends, inside I couldn't stand them. I didn't like them, because you've got what I want, you know what I mean? And I can't see any chance that I'm going to get that, you know. So inside I was very jealous, and I wouldn't have been able to name that, but I was very jealous, very covert. I'd want what you've got, you know. And I wouldn't be happy if you're doing good. I'd smile, but I would not be happy if you're doing better than me, you know, because that would make me feel more whatless and worthless, you know. And this stuff, it's followed me through life. Do you know what I mean? You know, I ended up, anyway, I'm in Yorkshire, end up, my nan ends up dying, and she says, go and look for your dad. And I believe that my dad was dead, but my mum gave me his number, and he had a gambling house in the West End. And what it was, when I came to London, I've got this really strong Yorkshire accent, and I hated it. I hated it. I really wanted to fit in, you know what I mean, and try to get rid of this accent. You know, and it comes out, it's in me, so it's going to come out at all different times. But it was very, very strong, and I really just wanted to be a part of my brothers and cousins and stuff like that. So I grew up kind of like, not liking white people, not liking black people, so I just thought I'd stick with my own people, which were mixed race, and then I soon ended up not liking them either, you know, because there's no perfect person. I was always like looking for, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? And do you know what? It's only like, I fit in the rooms, do you know what I mean? But my head will try and tell me I don't, but this is exactly where I fit in. You know, it's something, you know that song, like, you still haven't found what you're looking for, that song, you know, I found what I'm looking for, you know. And sometimes, you know, sometimes when I find things that I need, it takes me time to start utilising it, you know, start working it and making it work for me. But and this is what this programme is doing now. I utilise it and it works for me. But anyway, so I end up getting pregnant. Some guy that I met on the street is a good thief, and that's what it was all about. If you're a good thief, then you'll do. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're not a thief, I didn't know anybody else anyway but thieves. And it was kind of like, if you're a good thief and you've got a good name out there on the street, and you know this person, that person, then you're right. You know, and obviously I'm choosing the same messed up person as me. Because, you know, and that's just common knowledge. I wouldn't know how to look any. If anything good came along, I would push it away because I wouldn't trust you. Hang on, what are you after? Do you know what I mean? Can't be right. But so I ended up getting pregnant, and now by now I'm snorting cocaine and washing up cocaine. But I didn't see it as a problem. Do you know what I mean? I really didn't see it as a problem. And why I didn't see it as a problem? Because we was earning loads of money. Do you know what I mean? It was a thing like, if you've got loads of money, then it ain't a problem. Do you know what I mean? It's only a problem if you ain't got nothing. You know, and that's how I used to. That's how we used to check it, look at it. But that changed, obviously. You know, even though I was earning money, but in fact, it came to a part in my life where I was frightened to earn money, because no matter what money I got, it wasn't enough to buy the drugs that I was getting and stuff like that. Until the end, I didn't want to earn money, and that's followed me through my recovery. The 16 years, I was frightened to earn money. Do you know what I mean? Money's been a fear for me. You know, it's been like afraid to earn money because I'm frightened that if I earn money, that I'm going to become something. You know, but today I can earn money, and I don't have to become what I used to become when I was out there on the road and stuff like that. But so I ended up taking heroin. I get pregnant, have a baby, believing that, okay, man, woman, baby, home, expensive furniture, everything's going to be all right, because that's how school kids were. Their mums had cars, blah, 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 looked dressed well, and they looked like they was all right. So I've got all this and started injecting heroin. And when I injected the heroin, I really believed that I'd found what I'd been looking for my whole life. You know, it felt that emptiness. I fell in love. It became my lover, my best friend, and my everything. And what I started to do, I was paying people to look after my kid. And as a child, right, I used to say to myself, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like her. I'm going to be a good mum. I'm going to look after my kids. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to put men or alcohol or drugs before my kids, you know. And I swore down I'd never be like her. And that's been a fear of my whole life. You know what I mean? I'd look in the mirror and think, oh, my gosh, mum. And I'd be so petrified that that I'm going to be my mum. You know, and what I've learnt, right, since being clean, what my greatest fear was, right, I thought like drugs and stuff like that, but my greatest fear, right, was to become a paedophile like my mum, right, because I'd buried this stuff, right, and when this stuff, I'm not going to go into it too much, but when this stuff come to light, you know, I had to ask my sister, who remembers everything, did I do anything to you as a child? Because I don't remember. You know, and I think that's what my greatest underlying fear has been. You know, but today I can confront them fears, and I confront the lies. Do you know what I mean? I can expose the lies, you know, because I know that the battlefield is in the mind. Do you know what I mean? And I know that to hold on to this stinking thinking and twisted thinking, you know what I mean? You know, I'm powerless around it, but I'm not powerless to open my mouth and speak it to my sponsor or to whoever. And I'm quite vocal, but I'm not going to be too vocal here, because I don't think it's not the right place. I'm not ashamed of what's happened to me in my life. Anyway, so I start fixing and stuff like that, and obviously, you know, I don't really want to look after my kid. And that hurt me, because like I didn't want to look after my child. But what I used to do, I used to dress him. From once he's got the latest clothes, the latest stuff, he's all right. Because that's what I believed. I believe that the material things make everything all right. So started to take more stuff and drugs and that, and he starts taking more drugs, and it just obviously gets worse. I end up having another baby, and I couldn't even remember the pregnancy. I don't even remember giving birth to that child. You know, the drugs robbed me of that. You know, I can remember sitting in the house, and my son can tell me stuff. He tells me lots of stuff that I don't remember, which quite shocks me. You know, but I'm really glad that he remembers stuff and is able to come to me and talk to me about this stuff. You know, but I remember once injecting, and I've gone over, and I'm actually ODing, and then I've come round, and it's like, wow, I've done it again. And my kids, I've got two little babies at that time running around in the house in nappies, you know, not caring of the dangers, the risks. They could have picked up anything that was lying around, but it was all about me. It was all about me and me getting high, and it just wasn't about them, you know. But if people see me, the way I used to dress them, they'd think I was a perfect mum. Do you know what I mean? She looks after her kids because she's got them dressed and stuff like that, you know. But I can remember kind of like started to sell stuff from the home, and I remember leaving my children's dad, the first dad, and going with his best friend. Ended up sleeping with his best friend because me and his best friend was grafting together, so it was just convenient to sleep together and stuff like that. And I ended up getting pregnant for the best friend, and I remember my waters breaking, but I had to get a parcel first, you know. That is it. I'm not going to the hospital until I've got a parcel. And I remember like injecting and snorting and smoking crack and the baby jumping in my belly. Do you know what I mean? But the powerlessness, you know, I just could not stop. And that's what, you know, once I had that stuff in me, I just could not stop. In and out of the prison, when I'm in prison, I say, I'm going to come out and I'm going to do da-da-da-da-da-da. But the minute I'd end up down the cross, pick up a bit of gear, bang, and that's it, game over. You know, and that is what keeps me safe today. Because I know, right, I believe that if I go back, I believe I'd die. I really believe that with my whole heart. I believe that I'd die. You know, I've learned over the years, there's no such thing as going back and having one. You know, because the amount of times I come out of prison and say, I'll have one, then I'll go and pick the kids up. I didn't pick my kids up for 11 years. I didn't see my kids again for 11 years, and that was just from having that one. with all the good intentions of going to get them, but I never did get them. And that's what scares me. Do you know what I mean? And it's a healthy fear. It's something, you know. And when I, you know, 16 years in, I live a day at a time, because I hear all the time people in recovery for lengths of time, and they go back and die with a string sticking out of their groin. And do you know what I mean? You know, it's, you know, none of us are exceptional enough. Do you know what I mean? Or more powerful enough to be able to say that we can never. Do you know what I mean? And I have to keep that close to my heart. And I really believe that I do frontline work, and I like doing frontline work, because I'm the kind of person that needs to remember, because I know I'm the kind of person that would easily forget. You know, so easy forget and go off on some trip in my head and think that I'm this and I'm that, and I know that is something that is so easy for me, you know. So I did 8 rehabs. I didn't do 8 rehabs. I went into 8 rehabs. I didn't complete them. Do you know what I mean? I completed 2 of them, and but every time I went in, I know something was going on, and I was petrified. I was petrified, and the same petrifying feelings I experience when I still sometimes come into the rooms. You know, I can still feel very scared and very nervous. I can still feel isolated. I can still feel like I don't know anybody, and I still, this stuff still happens to me. You know, I can still kind of like loathe myself, self-loathe. The very core of me, kind of like abandonment and rejection, but the self-loathe is just like, you know, it just pops up from nowhere. You know, one day I can feel on top of the mountain, the next day it's like I so loathe myself and so tell myself, what are you doing? You're not doing nothing. You know, this happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I'm looking at my life thinking, and I do a lot, you know what I mean? But I'm telling myself, you don't do nothing. And I'm starting to believe you don't do nothing. And what happened was, I come out of this cafe, and all of a sudden I see one of the girls from Holloway, and she come up to me and she goes, man, I'm this and I'm doing this and I'm doing... And that just reminded me, I do make a difference. Do you know what I mean? Because why I'm saying I make a difference, making a difference for me is to be able to be open and to be honest. You know what I mean? That makes a difference. And to stay and not use. That is making a difference. Even though I don't have to talk about it, all I have to do is walk it. Just walk the walk. Because all I remember, right, I was in this Christian rehab, right, and we're out on the street witnessing to people out on the street. And obviously, the crack dealers, right, they know more about the Bible. They knew more about the Bible than me. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, what came to me, like, you're talking it, but I'm walking it. There's two you know. And sometimes I can get intimidated by people knowing the big book in and out. Do you know what I mean? But you can know that book in and out. But you know what? If you ain't walking it, that's of no value. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because all I know that I've heard people talk a load of rubbish. Do you know what I mean? You know, but a person that doesn't talk too much and is walking it, you know what I mean? That is, to me, that is more attractive. You know, and when I think of myself, when I was out on the road, I'd have to talk, bullshit talk. Do you know what I mean? To manipulate, to con somebody, and stuff like that. But I had nothing. You know. Yeah, I've never worked until I got clean. You know, and the first job I got was in the prison, the same prison that I was in and out of. What seemed to be so impossible, but it's mad because I grew up in there as a thief, and I also grew up in there as a professional. And it was mad because when I first went in there, my head would keep trying to tell me I'm still a prisoner. You know, my mind would tell me, you're a prisoner, you're nicked, they're going to nick you, you're going to get nicked for some warrants that haven't come up, something. And I was like that for a few years, thinking, you know what I mean, that something's going to come on top, you know. And yeah, I laugh because, you know, when you think of the things that you got away with, that's a miracle in itself, really, isn't it? When you think about it. But yeah, so I'd have to remind myself in there, you know, the old is gone. I'm not that person anymore. I am not that person. I am a new person and learning how to walk a new way. Do you know what I mean? It's like sticking a big jacket on a kid that's got to grow into that. I'm growing into my recovery on a daily basis, you know. And the things that jeopardise that, things like that, you know what I mean? You've got to protect your senses, what you watch, what you hear, what's going in your... You know what I mean? These things that we have to be... Well, a lot of the times we have to learn the hard way, do you know what I mean? And realise that we have to be kind of like vigilant on what we're watching, what I'm watching and what I'm eating, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. But it's kind of like, I feel like today I've got a purpose, do you know what I mean? And I didn't have a purpose before. You know, I didn't have a purpose before, but today I believe that I've got a purpose, and my purpose is spreading the message. Do you know what I mean? My purpose is to be a voice for women that ain't got a voice. You know, because like I really believe that within the prison I was given favour. I was given favour. I mean, I don't type. I don't talk any great English or anything like that, but. But as some of you know, I was kind of like nominated for an award, and I ended up going to Buckingham Palace. Me, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like that's quite phenomenal, you know, to go to Buckingham Palace, you know. And obviously, as an addict, I wasn't happy about it because it was Princess Anne, and it wasn't the Queen, and you know, like I really was, and I really was upset about that, and I was really quite. I'm not going to swear, but I was really annoyed with her. Do you know what I mean? Because like I've got my award. I want you to go, because they wouldn't let us go until she left, and like she was taking a long time chatting to people, and I was really getting pissed off because I want to go. Do you know what I mean? But what it was like, what I've learned from that is a lot of the time I can miss the present. Do you know what I mean? I miss so much there because I was in my head. I'm better, you know what I mean? I'm this and that. Hurry up. I've got things to do. And I ain't really got anything to do. Come on, I'm in Buckingham Palace. I should be marvelling in that. Do you know what I mean? But I miss the present. And what it was, it was fear. It was still that fear of feeling inadequate because I've got all these people wrapped around me. Do you know what I mean? That they might not have been money people, but they look like money people. And so I've tapped into my inadequacy and I want to run. When really and truly, if I'd have been kind of like more in a grafting mode, I would have got a few more numbers and tapped into this. But that's another part of me that I've been afraid of as well, that I start grafting people. But I have to remember that there's a healthy grafting. Do you know what I mean? There is. Even if it... For the right reasons. Do you know what I mean? You know, I kind of like graft for recovery to help for another woman. That is what I graft for today. And the houses, right? I've got these houses, right? And it's kind of like I've had them for 4 years, but it took 10 years before I was fit for these houses to come into my... to come to me. Because it took 10 years for me to get round that it's not about earning money. Do you know what I mean? It took 10 years for me to do things for the right motives. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously you think house, yeah, money, da-da-da-da-da-da, get this out, da-da-da, I can work it here and I can work it there. And it took a long time, I believe, for my higher power to get me into the place that I'm doing it for the right reasons. And today I can put my hand on my heart and say that I am doing it for the right reasons. It's kind of like, and how them houses came about, I was sharing my testimony in this meeting, in a church meeting, and I'm da-da-da-da-da, yeah, we need houses for women, blah, blah, blah. And this guy's come up to me afterwards and said, Mandy, I've got a house, all right? This is what I'm asking for this, and now somebody's giving me a house. What does my head tell me? No, you ain't. You fancy me. Do you know what I mean? But you ain't having me, so I'm not taking you. I'm not buying this rubbish about the house. So I blanked this guy for a whole year. Blanked him, totally blanked him. Come back to this meeting and I'm sharing again. And he's come up to me and said, Mandy, I've got a house. I'm happily married. I'm a successful businessman. And I've really got a house. I want to work with you. And the thing was, right, I was afraid. Because what it is, right, I can talk, 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 talk. and then it starts to come in fruition. And when it comes into fruition, I have to step into it. Do you know what I mean? And it'd be like the same kind of thing when I was out on the street. Yeah, I'd do this, rob this, blah, 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 blah. And then the opportunity had come to do it, I would have to do it. But what it was, right, what it was, it's like fear. And what I'm really recognising, I haven't talked a lot about the programme, but what I recognise, right, is like fear, the fear of succeeding, the fear of doing well. Do you know what I mean? Because of that self-loathing that would always want to pull me down. Anyway, I ended up taking this house, and then he said to me, "What is your vision? What do you want?" So I said, "I want 3 houses, a restaurant, and a charity shop, and a rehab, and stuff like that." And one day we're driving past this plot of land. He said, "Mandy, I'm going to build 2 houses there. Do you want them?" And when he says, "Do you want them?" it's not like they're yours, but they belong to a charity that I set up. And so I'm thinking, "Who are you?" Do you know what I mean? You're building 2 houses, do you want them? Do you know what I mean? Instead of being really grateful, I'm thinking, who are you? And that's the part of me that just comes up. Do you know what I mean? It's just part of me that looks down on you, like you've got nothing, I'm better than you. Do you know what I mean? You're talking bullshit and I'm talking common sense. Do you know what I mean? That's that part of me. And what it was, again, that was fear. And the next time he drove me past his plot of land, and he's only building 2 houses. And now I'm really scared. So he's given me this metal cap and he said, "Have a look." So I've had a look at these houses and I said, "No, they're the wrong houses." So I was really scared. I said, "No, they're not the right houses." So he ended up buying 3 houses and I ended up taking these houses. So I ended up leaving the prison. And that's what it was. I didn't want to leave the prison. Prison is my comfort place. I'm at home, and that is so sad to think that prison, I feel so at home. But as you know, Holloway's closing and the spirit of Holloway is leaving, because the spirit of Holloway is the people that are in it. So I'm recognising that I'm not actually in love with Holloway, it's the people. From once I'm around other addicts, other suffering, recovering addicts, I feel a completion. You know, it's a challenge, you know. I remember my first house, I'll finish it on this. The first house that I got, I remember going in there and this girl's drinking alcohol in my house. Well, I didn't know how to tell her put it down, you know. All I knew and what to do was grab her up by the neck and tell her. And I'm a professional, do you know what I mean? And as I'm doing it, I'm realising you're not meant to be doing this, but I'd already done it, and I'm thinking, I'm doing it, and I'm thinking, how can I get out of this? Do you know what I mean? Kind of thing, you know. And you know, but what it is, right, I didn't know how to say to somebody, don't do it, without getting aggressive. I've learned by working this programme and looking at that I am powerless over another human being, because I didn't think I was. I thought I could make you do this, I can make you do that, I can manipulate you, control you, or bully you, or intimidate you into doing this, you know. But ultimately I am powerless, and I thank God that I don't have to work at being all powerful, because that's hard work, you know. Today I'm a grateful recovering addict that have found a sense of belonging, and that's in the fellowship of NA. Because the common goal is that we're addicts, recovering addicts, and we're helping the still suffering addicts. And I'll just leave it there.